proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
I know. Poor Joe Hart only got two sips of his coffee. I just can't stop. Motor mouth me. I just, darn it. I'm John Potter, live and local. Thanks for joining us. Our current temperature in the Reno area, 50 degrees. As Mr. Craig Swope was just talking about the weather, here come the chains. We have three road controls to speak of right now. I just took a check. You'll need chains over Mount Rose Highway from the ski resort to Fairview Boulevard. That's as you get into the first neighborhoods of Incline Village. Also over I-80 between Truckee and Cisco Grove, and chains required on the west shore of Tahoe, 89 from Tahoe City to Emerald Bay. And another storm is still on track. It's on its way. National Weather Service has a winter storm warning for the Sierra West slopes and a winter storm watch for the eastern slopes where we are. Both start at 2 o'clock this afternoon to 11 o'clock tomorrow night. Tahoe lake level, 6 to 10 inches of snow. Right now, from this morning through Sunday night, the winds will kick up. We're going to get high winds this weekend. Snow showers lingering. You'll see a couple of snow showers starting late tonight in the Reno, Sparks, Carson City area into Monday morning. Down here, Reno, Sparks, Carson City, snow showers likely late tonight, then rain showers take over tomorrow afternoon. It is going to be a nice bounty for the high elevations, the ski resorts. Too bad it didn't come earlier. We don't have a whole lot of ski resorts open at this point. Too many closed already. But it's going to be very nice for the snowpack. Absolutely. And that's the best part of it. Artemis mission and Iran, I want to update you on, folks. I, like probably you, have been excited about this. I think there was a new passion for the space race because of this. And the splashdown yesterday, if I could describe it, I was so emotional and edge of my seat. The heart was in my chest. I actually prayed twice as the spaceship was coming down. And I've been excited through the Artemis mission. I love Christiana's crazy Medusa-like hair, the photos, and the return to space exploration. These are not the dour, all-business astronauts of our past. This was a very open, positive, and just cheery crew with a lot of life in that small space. Such a journey involves also the greatest of minds and imagination to accomplish what this crew has done. And I'm grateful for these travelers. And while they were up there last Sunday, I wondered if they would have an Easter message and what it would be. And unfortunately, I think in this politically correct day, it's like we're not allowed to acknowledge, you know, Easter publicly or say much about it. Some of the other holidays, the other religions, you know, the networks and the politicians, they make a big deal over. But Easter and the things having to do with Christianity, it's almost like they want to push us off to the side. So I had great respect and love for what Artemis II mission pilot Victor Glover said, his Easter message from the spaceship, where he spoke without notes about the profound perspective he gained from being up there. And he said, quote, "When I read the Bible and I look at all of the amazing things that were done for us, who were created, you have this amazing place, this spaceship. You guys are talking to us because we're in a spaceship really far from Earth, but you are on a spaceship called Earth that was created to give us a place to live in the universe and the cosmos. And I'm trying to tell you, just trust me, you are special. In all of this emptiness, this is a whole bunch of nothing, this thing we call the universe. You have this oasis, this beautiful place that we get to exist together in." That, in case you missed it, was pilot Victor Glover. That so warmed my heart, as it did for others. That message went viral. No, not so much on our news media, but on social media, where it drew millions of views and heartfelt responses from around the world. Wow. To talk about your faith publicly, even on Easter, our public officials can't even gather the courage to make even a reference or a comment, much less a statement about Easter and what it means to hundreds of millions of Americans. But this is not about complaining. This is about looking upward. I'm grateful that humankind is again exploring. You know, I was a teenager when Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Aldrin walked on the moon, and Mr. Collins was circling overhead of the command module. And it was thrilling to see playing out before us such historic exploration. And it planted in my young mind at the same time in school. I was learning about the likes of Columbus and Magellan and Hudson and all the others who flew over the poles and went up into the Amazon, you know, the grand spirit of human exploration. And to see that in real time and in real life with the conquest of the moon by Americans and NASA, it was pretty thrilling. But to be honest with you, for the 50 years from then till now, I've wondered where that spirit has gone. No disrespect to the space station or the shuttle, but those really were not exploration. They were dog and pony shows. We weren't going anywhere. We weren't doing anything new. But this Artemis II, it's not completely new, but at least it's gone in that direction. And we've caught a little bit of the old spirit again. And I can't exactly put my finger on why, but I think it's important. I think it's noble. I think it's who we are. We are a curious species, and we go places, and we find answers. And that's what these four good people up in that capsule did this month. Bravo. New developments in Iran this morning. In the last 2 hours, President Trump announced. I know, folks, I'm old-fashioned. I say a president announced. CBS and ABC always say President Trump boasted or President Trump claimed. No, President Trump. By the way, they don't even say president anymore. It's constantly Trump and former President Barack Obama. Always CBS and ABC. Anyway, as I was saying, in the last 2 hours, President Trump announced that the U.S. has begun clearing mines in the Strait of Hormuz, quote, as a favor to countries all over the world. Well, yes, Europe does not do a thing. We got to go all the way over there and do it and foot the bill. Tiresome. In a post on his Truth Social app, the U.S. president said Iran's mine-laying ships are, quote, also lying at the bottom of the sea. While claiming, this is ABC again, that the Iranian military's air and naval capabilities have diminished and its missiles and drones, quote, have been largely obliterated. Well, I'll tell you what, I woke up again this morning rejoicing over this prelude for a peace deal to Iran and the 2-week ceasefire, which seems to be holding on by a thread. This morning, peace negotiations are taking place in Washington between Israel and Beirut, and Iran peace talks are underway right now in Islamabad with J.D. Vance. Now, Iran wants, $1 million for every ship to pass through the Strait of Hormuz? $1 million? Admission? Does this remind anybody else of Disneyland? But anyway, I'm still fired up and I'm staying positive for no war. And I'll be honest with you, old Don Trump gave me a lot of heartburn over last week. Now, what the hell is he doing? And then in recent days, it's been, what the hell is he saying? But there's crazy, and there's crazy like a fox. And while, again, I don't know who Donald Trump really is, but in this matter of this war, it may be that he was crazy like a fox. And when he was praising Allah and F-bombing on Sunday, and when Monday morning he's threatening to wipe a civilization off the face of the earth, maybe he was turning up the heat under some people who need the heat turned up under them, and maybe he was creating the pressure, the anxiety, the uncertainty, the fear that led to this deal this week. Maybe it will hold, maybe not. But again, I just find myself relieved for us. A lot of us have been praying for peace, and this looks like that. And it also looks like an extraordinary advance for the interest of the United States and stability in that part of the world, because Iran, it's holding its head high, and that's great. That's wonderful. But it has had the living crap kicked out of it. Its war fighting and war projecting capabilities are dramatically decreased. It has been put in its place in its ability to make mischief for an extended period of time, significantly curtailed. Iran had it coming, and Iran got it, and I'm happy for that. And you talk about an off-ramp, this looks like that. Now, some people say, well, Trump, he backs down. He lost his credibility. It's like the folks on the left and their friends in the news media, they must have stayed up all night trying to think of some way, somehow, to put a negative spin on all this. Well, John, Trump made a threat and he backed out again, John. Trump backed down again. See, I don't get that. If I say to you, open the strait or I'm going to frickin' blow you up, I mean, I just extended to you a proposition. It's a simple, if you don't open the strait, I'm going to blow you up deal. And if the other guy opens the strait and you don't blow him up, you did not back down. The purpose of the threat was, we want this crap over. We want the strait open. And for the most part, again, hanging by a thread, but the crap is over. And this morning, the peace talks began in Islamabad, and that's a win. And whether you love him or hate him, that's a Donald Trump win. Okay? And Wednesday, right after all this happened, I was talking to a friend of mine who said to me, I just hope this is not another peace in our time deal. I think Trump did the right thing here, but John, I can't bring myself to trust the other side. Peace in our time is a reference to the Prime Minister of Great Britain in 1938, the mustached guy with the bowler hat and the umbrella, Neville Chamberlain, after meeting with Hitler. Peace in our time. Conciliation and appeasement was his approach. There are two things here. One, short term. What if Iran is just, you know, slick about this and is using the 2-week ceasefire to regroup and reload? We'll do a little regrouping, reloading ourselves. And also because of troop movements and ship movements, which are already underway, the position of the United States will be even stronger in the region. We will have completed the move of soldiers from the 82nd Airborne to the Middle East. We're going to have a third aircraft carrier battle group in the theater. We're going to have a second Marine unit in the theater. We're going to be bigger and better a week from now than we are today. And so if Iran acted out of fear that Trump was going to wipe away their civilization, he would have greater capability to do that a week from now. And now long term, I don't have time for it because I'm running late. Maybe bring it up later. I'm John Potter, live and local. 884-9910 is our number. We're going to take a break. We have some guests who are going to talk about some great musical events in town. Up for a segment next on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk FM News Talk. Time 11:20.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
All right, we have some real music fans who are in the studio today, right now. Music lovers, Jackie and Alex Loosely. And they love music. They hate my singing, but I invited them back anyway. Because I'll tell you another reason. This is concert season, right?
Yeah.
Why are there seasons for concerts? I, because the Philharmonic has a certain period when they perform. What are they? The NFL? They have their own seasons? And...
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
It's most of it's all April through May, especially for like youth orchestras and schools, elementary schools, middle schools, you know, like graduation season. It's all that stuff just comes together.
And Alex, you're in the youth orchestra?
Yes.
What do you play again?
Viola.
Viola. All right. What's a viola?
It's just a bigger version of the violin, a better version of the violin, if I could say so myself.
Why do you love the viola so much?
It's a unique instrument. There's not that many viola players, so...
You're the only viola player I know.
Yeah, there's not many of us, so we're all kind of in one circle.
All right. Well, you're really excited about these concerts. Let's start with the... And folks, you're all invited to these. Play and Sing for a Day. That's coming up soon. When is this?
Play and Sing for a Day is April 26th. It's a Sunday at 6 p.m. It's free, which is great, and it's at Billinghurst Middle School. Mm-hmm. So it's put on by the Reno Phil, and it's the Reno Phil, and you get to sign up, and you can play side by side with the Reno Phil. So it's the Reno Phil coming together with, you know, all these amazing musicians from our community.
Next up is the Harp Fest at UNR, May 8th.
Mm-hmm. Harp Fest is put on every year by Marina Oster. She's the harp professor at UNR. So it's her whole studio, her college students, her private students. Mm-hmm. And usually every year about 25, 30 harps on one stage. And they all just, you know, play together, play some nice music. This year is nature themed. Mm-hmm. So,
you can even dress up if you like.
If you want to. Marina always says dress up is encouraged.
I feel like you're bringing back some of these things from extinction. And I don't mean this in a negative way, but in the old days, you used to see harps like at fancy restaurants. They would have a person. I remember when I lived in Las Vegas, they had a restaurant called Dome of the Sea at the Dunes. And there was always a lady in the middle playing the harp. And that all disappeared. But Jackie, do you have some sort of passion toward bringing back the love of these forlorn instruments?
I think that is all Marina Rostatovsky-Oster. I think she has such a passion for it. She is a fantastic professor, mm-hmm. teacher, and player herself. She really has a passion for teaching mm-hmm. harp to children and adults. She has an amazing studio.
Okay.
And she is an amazing player herself.
Do they even sell harps anywhere?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
they do. And
if you go to her house and walk in her living room, she just has like 10 harps just sitting there. It's pretty amazing.
I haven't seen a harp for decades. Yeah. All right. Next up, the Reno Philharmonic's Free Family Concert. This sounds big. It's the Youth Orchestra Showcase on May 9th.
Yeah, so Youth Orchestra, these are some of the best musicians in Northern Nevada. There's four different orchestras, and they all get to play. That is Saturday, May 9th, at the Pioneer, which is where the Phil has all their concerts. And one special highlight is...
The Golden Turtle.
Yeah, one special highlight is Felicity Fan. She's a senior this year, and she's going to be playing a piano concerto with the youth orchestra. So this is, you know, her last year with us, so it's going to be very exciting.
And finally, the Reno Pops Orchestra concert, May 16th.
Yeah, so this one is Animal Adventures. It's at Nightingale Hall at UNR. This is another great one because it's free. It's family-friendly. It's Animal Adventures. It's if you're an animal lover, then you definitely like this concert. You know, we get to play. There's some exciting things on the program. Peter and the Wolf, Carnival of the Animals, music from The Jungle Book. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And they have a fantastic singer from UNR who will be coming back to sing with the Reno Pops Orchestra. He is a fabulous singer, and he'll be singing along with, I think it's The Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book, yeah.
They'll be playing songs from The Jungle Book, and he will come back and sing.
Alex... Let me talk about you. How old are you again?
14.
14. And you are a music lover at 14 of what, primarily classical music?
Yeah, I listen to anything. Really.
Jackie, how did this start with Alex loving this kind of music at this age?
It started with his piano teacher, Nancy Rodolico. He started taking piano with her when he was five. She was a fabulous teacher. She taught him music theory. She introduced him to a lot of different genres of music. He really liked the classical music. She encouraged him to take up another instrument. So we started with violin, which he still plays, and viola. And he started composing from there. And his teacher, Ruth Lenz, gave a copy of a string quartet to one of the professors at UNR, and that's how he started there in music composition.
So 14-year-old Alex, is this a career for you?
Definitely.
You want to be a prodigy, don't you, of the viola? You're so modest, but you could be, right?
There's a lot of studying that needs to be done, and I think he's took to it really quickly, so that's to his advantage.
Excellent.
And they did start a brand new program at UNR, which is a new composition degree. So they started him in that program, and he does have a piece that'll be premiering at the Harp Fest.
No kidding.
Yes.
You're writing music, that's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the Toyabe Trio will perform that world premiere of that piece at the Harp Fest.
Keep tabs. I wish there was an American Idol for violas with harps.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
No, really, to get the culture to enjoy this again and bring back these any music, any live instrument player, we need more to see in the public, I think, and not just these little events, but your events are actually quite big.
Okay, yes.
Alex, I got to wrap it up. Fox News is up next. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you for having me on.
All the people about these concerts, many of them free. So check it out. You can Google, right?
And you can go to his website at youngcomposeralex.com. And
you have a website.
All of the information there.
And youngcomposeralex.com.
Yeah, and then all the orchestras have websites. So you just type in, Reno Phil or Reno Pops, and those will come up too.
Super, guys. All right, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Well, we'll keep tabs on you. I'm John Potter. Fox News next. Local news with Greg Neft on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:30.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk. True.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. If you have, if you check the cameras, especially the NDOT cameras, looking at Mount Rose and 80, I see that layer of snow, slushy snow on the grounds and the high elevations. And right now, at this moment, just checked again, you need chains on the Mount Rose Highway between the ski resort and Fairview Boulevard, which is one of the first streets you encounter as you get into the town of Incline Village. I-80, you need chains between Truckee and Cisco Grove. And the west shore of Tahoe, 89, you need chains between Tahoe City and Emerald Bay. Our current temperature in Reno, it's a cool day today, of course, 51 degrees. And you can expect more chain controls as we get the bulk of this winter-like storm. With the winter storm warning for the Sierra West Slope starting at 2. The winter storm watch for the eastern slopes where we are starts at 2. And it goes to 11 o'clock tomorrow night. So late tonight, you could see some snow showers here down here on the valley floor, Reno Sparks, Carson City. I'm John Potter, 884-9910, our number. This young man who was just in the studio, 14-year-old Alex, who is, well, I'll call him a prodigy, but he is a music fan, mainly classical music. And looking at the wishes and the plans and desires of somebody at that age really brings me back to where I was at the same age. I certainly wasn't accomplishing much like Alex is with his own website and his music concerts. But it did remind me that when I was a younger man, I think I was 16 or 17. I know I was in high school. And at that time, I read this article it might have been in the National Geographic, about the Appalachian Trail, a trail which ran some 2,000 miles from Springer Mountain down in Georgia up to Mount Katahdin in Maine, all the way from Georgia to Maine. It sort of walks the backbone of the Appalachians, the mountains over the east. I don't know how many states this trail goes through. It's over a whole bunch of miles. It's a walk through the woods that probably would take the average person about 6-7 months or so. And I remember reading about that, thinking that that would be an adventure. That would be an achievement. That would be a thrill. And in the back of my mind, you know, the whole thing got in there like, ah, man, I really want to do that. But you know, when you're 17 years of age, you don't have two dimes to run together, and you got to kind of get on a sprint if you're going to try to catch up with life and get something going on. And so in those years of my youth, though I did a fair amount of reading about the Appalachian Trail and a fair amount of daydreaming about the Appalachian Trail, I got nowhere near the Appalachian Trail. I thought, oh, I'm going to do it when I'm 21 or 22, which sounds pretty old for a 17-year-old to say. But then when you get to be about 21 or 22, or maybe 23 or 24, you recognize that life has obligations. And again, you still don't have those two pennies to rub together. And so you say as a young person, well, what I will do is I will hike the Appalachian Trail on the other end of life. When I get old enough to retire, I will set out and then I will have time and I will hike the Appalachian Trail from end to end and I will have the grand adventure of my life. Well, specifically, I have for the last, I don't know how many years, 20 or 30 or more, I figured that when I get to be 65, I would retire or at least take a leave of absence and hike the Appalachian Trail. And throughout this whole time, from 17 on, I was mentally prepping for this grand adventure. And I would buy and read books about the Appalachian Trail to keep my interest up and be an expert on it. And I was still very excited about it. And by the way, highly recommend the book, A Walk in the Woods, Bill Bryson, if you're interested. I read it twice and I bought copies to give to friends, A Walk in the Woods. So, okay. Plans were going pretty well as long as 65 was some theoretical milepost down the road of life. And then 65 became 70. And I am now, why am I laughing? I'm now over 70. And I've noticed that at this age, nature begins to do certain things to your body. Or your body decides not to do some things that it has been doing for decades on end. I'm in good health. Everything works. I do hike and I still go out for a run now and then, but I noticed that that run is a whole lot slower than it used to be. No matter how much I push or try or train, somebody has turned the dial way down. And I know that these hillsides that we have around here, around our house that I have hiked up and down and then back to home, that some of these hills, and some of them are really not that steep, they will leave me huffing and puffing like there's no tomorrow. And while I never stop before I get to the top of a hill, I do find that getting to the top of the hill is pretty difficult sometimes, and it might leave me pretty much spent when I get there. And as I understand from my youthful readings about the Appalachian Trail, they got a lot of hills over there. So I've begun to entertain the possibility that by the time I get to 75 years of age, that it may be that my will or desire, notwithstanding, that I may not have the physical capability to hike 2,000 miles down the backbone of the eastern United States. But we'll see what time does in regard to that. That's all kind of background for something, which reminds me of something else that I saw on Reddit the other day. There are different things you might be interested in, of course, and hiking the Appalachian Trail for me is one of them. And they have a couple of on Reddit, different groups. They have groups on Reddit, subreddits they call them, for any interest you have in life. And so they have a couple of groups, you know, probably more than a couple that I don't know about, for people who want to take the hike, the whole length of the trail, or people who are doing the Appalachian Trail or have done it. And I check in on those every now and then, you know, just to see what I can learn from the experiences of people. What are they saying? How are they finding it? And, you know, I hope that through them, I can learn a little bit more and be a little bit better prepared. And here's something that was posted Thursday of this week. It's a picture of, well, it's somebody holding a smartphone. It's a smartphone and the screen is on. And up here on the lock screen, it's got the time, 11:19. And underneath, there's a picture on the phone. And the picture is of seven people. Looks like dad here on the left. It's probably mom here on the right. And then they have like five adult children. Looks like two in the front between mom and dad, three behind, standing up behind mom and dad. And everybody looks lean. Everybody looks healthy. Everybody looks happy, of course. You do tend to smile in family portraits, right? But the mom and dad, they're not carrying any extra weight. They look robust, look probably to be in their 50s or 60s. The kids are all thin. The girls are beautiful. The sons are handsome. And again, everybody looks very fit. One of the boys has a T-shirt on. It says Maine Maritime Academy. And there's this post that goes with the photo. And it says, hello, I'm sorry if this is not the group I should be joining, but here I am posting. My dad started hiking the AT March 12th. He passed away on the trail, having a heart attack on the borderline of North Carolina and Tennessee. We're trying to locate his phone right now as it was not on his person. It's a black iPhone case. Screensaver is a picture of his family. He was known on the trail to some as Big Bros, or Browse, I should say. We know it's still powered since we have tried calling it a couple of times today. His name was David Webster. Okay, so that's the post. So they stayed back at home, and they're looking for Dad's phone. And as you read down the comments, you see that she posts again later saying that Dad's phone was found, and they're grateful, and thank you. But here's where I'm getting at. Here's a picture of a man who, at the tail end of his life, went out on his Appalachian Trail hike by himself, and he lost his life there on the trail. And I guess there's something romantic about that. I presume he might have wanted to have left this world with the people he cherished the most. It is a family. And God bless the memory of David Webster. And I bring this up just to tap you and me on the shoulder. And the Appalachian Trail is my goal. For everybody else, it would be a metaphor for whatever else your goal may be. Don't put off till tomorrow the things you want to do today. You've got responsibilities and you can't skirt those, and don't be irresponsible. But also, don't fall for that popular misconception that the future is guaranteed. This man did not get to complete that hike. This man died far from his family. And I'll bet you this man, for decades earlier in life, could have done this hike without a problem. Your goal, your wish, your dream is waiting there for you to actively pursue today. Do that. Find a way. Fit it around your schedule. Be all you can be today and in your life is, I guess, what I was trying to say. I just went a long way to it. I'm John Potter, live and local. One more segment. Phone lines are open. 775-884-9910. Be back shortly on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1149.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Current temperature in Reno, 52 degrees. Expect some snow falling late tonight here on the valley floor. Not a whole lot, but Tahoe lake level, 6 to 10 inches expected. Taking calls in the order they came in. Let's go to Jeff calling from Reno. Hey, Jeff, good morning. I'm glad you called. Go ahead, Jeff.
Good morning, John Potter. Hey, back in 1977, just finished high school, getting ready to go to college, but had the summer off. Gal pal and I went to Washington, D.C. by bus from New York, big backpacks on our with us. We stayed in a hotel that first night. Then we got on the Appalachian Trail. We ended up in Bar Harbor, Maine. And the part I find interesting is we took a Blue Nose ferry from Bar Harbor, Maine to Nova Scotia, Canada. But we had a paper license from New York State. We didn't have passports. We didn't have anything. And I think we paid $11 to get on that ferry, go to Nova Scotia, stayed in an hotel motel, and came back to the United States. It was just a different era. It was great, though.
Well, you did it. There you go, Jeff. And my gosh, you just reminded me how simple life was. Wasn't it great?
It was great. You didn't even think back twice about worrying about 40 things. You too, John.
Take care, great. Jeff. All right. Paul, welcome to the show. I'm glad you called. Welcome to 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Paul, go ahead.
Hi, John. Hey, have you thought about the hiking the John Muir Trail, or have you hiked it?
No, I the longest trail I've done is probably one around here that. I tell you what I was looking forward to doing was Tahoe Rim Trail before I tackle the Appalachian Trail. So you endorse the John Muir Trail? You'd been on that?
I've been on parts of it off and on, and I had actually started a trip on it about 15 years ago. And my hiking partner had some issues, and we had to cut it short. But I've always been thinking in back my mind about going back and doing it. It's like 300 miles. It's beautiful. You can do it in 2 weeks if you're in decent shape. And it's a little bit more attainable than the Appalachian Trail. Not as romantic, I guess, because it's, you know, the history of everything back there. But, you know, to take 2-3 weeks local and do something like that, you might consider that a. And I'm also approaching 70 really quickly.
All right, Paul, I will. John Muir Trail. There's also the Pacific Trail, which goes from Mexico to Canada. Boy, we are going that's challenging to a 70-year-old. I got to go, Paul.
Start with the John Muir and then switch up. So,
all right, friend. Okay, all right, Paul. Thanks a lot. Let's go to John calling from Verdi. John, I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you want a warm-up trip, you just mentioned it, do the Tahoe Rim Trail. It's like, I think it's like 160 miles.
I have, you know what? I went up to Spooner Summit just to take a look at it, and I have so many questions. Have you done it yourself, John?
I've done it in sections. I'm working on completing it this summer.
Okay. Now, do you have to get a permit if you are doing what they call the whole rim trail? There's a name for that, through hiker, I guess. Do you have to get a permit for sleeping there, for setting up a tent? You have to go through that process to do it?
I have not, and they may be. I just don't know about it. But I go up for like 3-4 days, maybe a week at a time, and just simple camping gear, dry food. And I've gotten about halfway around it.
Awesome. What's the best view? What part of that trail has the best view? Because I've seen amazing pictures that blow my mind.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you're looking down deer, at the lake.
Yeah. Deer, bear, everything.
Excellent. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. I just remembered the longest trail I've been on. It's 13 miles. You pick it up on Carson Road in Genoa. It's the Switchback Trail. I think there's a name to it, but it goes for 13 miles. I've done it twice, and it drops you down on Jacks Valley Road. Oh, my gosh, I got to go. Folks, have a great weekend. Love you very much. Fox News is next. Oh, I have another minute. Okay, great. Super. So anyway, yeah, 13 miles, and this Switchback Trail, you cross by the same waterfall because you're switching back and forth. It's incredible. And then as you get higher and higher, you're looking down over Carson Valley, and you see, oh, I know this area. This, oh, look at that. There's Minden. And it's gorgeous and beautiful. Then you walk into the thick woods where you kind of worry about things like mountain lions and bears, because it is, you're in the middle of it all. And it drops you down. It takes several hours, of course, but it really clears your mind, and it's a beautiful free hike to do. It starts again at Genoa, goes to, out toward Minden. Okay. All right. Thank you, folks, for tuning in. We'll be back next Saturday, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. John Potter here. Bye-bye.